Tuning in today. Here we are again with you, and we're happy to be here and hope to be a blessing to you today on this 16th day of April 2021. All right, we're going to open up with some news today as we get into things here, and then we will go into the Word of God, the good word that we have for you today. So let me know who R.G. Stair was. He's on shortwave for years and years. He's dead at 87 years old. And he's a, I believe that he was probably a false teacher in many ways, even though he had some things right. But any of you who've listened to him too much, you would know maybe what I'm talking about. But anyway, he's been accused of sexual assault and was in jail, I think, and they let him go home. He died at 87 years old. So Biden's administration is busy ending existing U.S. religious freedom efforts on the global stage because it was very important to President Trump. So he obviously is doing opposite of what the president did. And so he's trying to do away with religious freedom rather than making that a priority. His priority, he's more focusing on illegal alien immigration and refugees and LGBTQ rights and women's right to abortion. Yeah, isn't that real important stuff, right? Secretary of State says President Trump overly emphasized religious freedom. Well, what do you expect from an Antichrist administration? There's a major shift away from religious freedom with this group. And, of course, in this country, that group, if they get their way, we need to pray against it. You know, we do have authority. We need to pray against these things that are trying to be brought in on us and forced in upon people. We need to use our spiritual authority and see that this stuff doesn't get brought to pass. Yeah, because they take away your freedom, there's going to be more persecution, right? Yeah. So federal government caught by buying fresh flesh of aborted babies who could have survived as preemies. Yes, Judicial Watch found the U.S. government has been buying and trafficking fresh aborted baby parts, even all the way up into the last month of pregnancy, that they're getting these little fresh parts from little babies. How disgusting is that? Of course, it's disgusting, but why do they think they need that? Why do they feel that they have to do that? Well, you know who's behind that, right? So anyway, an undercover video released 4/13/21 shows a top CNN official admitting the network engaged in propaganda to defeat President Trump and assist the campaign of abortion supporter and advocate Biden. And, well, what's new? I think we all knew this, right? We could see that media is obviously very biased and but at least it's admitted today, admitted to by CNN director Charlie Chester, admitted it. But of course, we already knew it's going on, but it's nice that they can admit to their sin, although they don't think it's a sin. He said he came there to get rid of Trump or something like that. I don't remember everything about it, the little interview thing, but anyway. California still refuses to let Christians sing to God. Newsom, the governor there, still maintains churches should not sing. No, you cannot sing. Well, where do you think that's coming from? Who doesn't want you to worship God? Right. You know who doesn't want you to worship God. The devil doesn't want us to worship God. He doesn't want the high praises of God to be in our mouth. He doesn't want us giving glory to the Father. So we know exactly where that's coming from. And we know exactly who's controlling a lot of people in government in the country today. And it's very obvious who's trying to control people and who's yielding control to the devil. I mean, it's definitely obvious about that as well. So anyway, also Bernie Madoff with a lot of money. 82 years old, he died behind bars this week. Madoff, you know, the Ponzi swindler who's stolen so many people's money and investments. You know, he's now facing his maker. I don't know that he'll face Jesus. He'll face his father, the devil, right? So unless he got saved in prison, which I haven't heard anything about that, but another high-profile Christian walks away. That's right, another one. Former Desiring God writer Paul Maxwell announces he's no longer a Christian. What are we seeing here? We're seeing a falling away of a lot of people right now, and it's just, I think that it's going to increase, though. I think it is. But thank God for everyone who stands up and believes and proclaims their faith in Jesus Christ. We thank God for our brothers and sisters throughout the world who don't compromise and who don't walk away from the Lord. And the Bible says, you know the parable of the sower, how some will fall by the wayside. And yeah, the birds of the air devour those precious ones, and they go back to the cares because of the cares of the world and the cares of this. You remember that parable that Jesus spoke. Well, it's happened. It happens not only to the new ones, but it happens to some that have supposedly been Christians a while. They're turning away. Some of them. Louisiana, though, has some good news out of it. Dr., how do we say her name? Julia Letlow was sworn in into the United States House of Representatives Wednesday, making history for the state as the state's first Republican congresswoman and narrowing the gap that the Democrats have in the Congress. That's right, one more that will narrow that gap. But right now, the Republicans have 212 seats in the House of Representatives, and the Democrats have 218. So it's just six people difference, not that far apart. But she won her seat in a special March election, and so she is a pro-life and a Christian person. So praise God for that, huh? Yeah, we thank God for everyone that can get in there that will vote pro-life and vote against killing and murdering the children and all these other crazy things that are being tried to be brought in to this country right now. Russia sends doomsday nuke torpedo capable of triggering tsunamis off the America's east coast to the Arctic for tests. Folks, I think war is coming. I mean, it sure looks that way. I don't know when, but it looks like it's inevitable. And a lot of things are happening behind the scenes right now that are not being reported on, that barely being even found out about. Some of them are not even being found out about. So we pray against war. Pray against nuclear war, especially, because anybody that pulls those triggers is not going to do the world any favors, I don't think. But they have those weapons, and inevitably they're going to use them. It so much looks that way, more than ever. So we need to be praying against that and being prepared for the days ahead. Because these are going to be very perilous times. Times of India, the daily newspaper in India, recommends how to use mantras to bring people under your control. Devil mantra. That is dangerous for users. They recommend to repeat them over 100 times a day. Well, the users get more demons as well, right? I mean, that's what's going to happen if they're doing that and getting into just repeating this mantra 100 times a day. You think there won't be someone there to accommodate them? And of course there will. Of course there will. You know that there's the problems that this creates. And of course, we know what kind of what most of the people of that country are. The majority are Hindus, and they believe in many gods, and Hinduism practices a lot of what's really nothing but witchcraft and occultism. Yeah. So we need to be aware of these things. We need to be rebuking them. We need to be warring against these things. And there are many spirits that we should war against. One of them is the spirit of Asmodeus, right? Because that is a spirit that wants to destroy marriages. That's a spirit that wars against all marriages, the spirit of Asmodeus. They say it. A number of them have said that Asmodeus is generally regarded as the spirit that drove Solomon to all of his sexual excesses and sin. And we know that Solomon's end definitely was not the will of God for him. He missed the mark, allowing himself to open up to all these wrong, lustful spirits. Yeah, so we need to rebuke this Asmodeus spirit. It's a lustful spirit, and it will motivate a married partner to just simply be unfaithful, bringing in an adulterous spirit. And how many marriages have been destroyed today because of the spirit of Asmodeus, because of one of the partners getting involved in stuff that they should be involved in, right? So be on guard against Asmodeus. It also tries to keep single people single. Another thing that Asmodeus does, and because it's also a religious spirit, tells them, oh, you just need to remain single. Even when the Bible says it's not good that man should be alone. And you don't sin when you take a wife, or vice versa, take a husband. So just be on guard. Sometimes you need to rebuke that spirit. Sometimes that's the spirit that's attacking, and you may not be aware of it, but that is definitely one that operates. So there's so much more we can share about it, but we're not going to get into that. We're going to pray. We're going to get into the Word of God now. Again, thank you for tuning in. Lord bless you, and I hope that things are well with you. And if not, we're going to pray right now that they get better for you. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, we rebuke the spirit of Asmodeus right now. We rebuke it over people who are in marriages and people who are single that somehow I just got disconnected for no reason whatsoever. So we rebuke that spirit of Asmodeus for doing that, or any other demon, in Jesus' name. And we cover this program with the blood of Jesus right now. We thank you that no weapon formed against us shall prosper in the name of Jesus Christ. And we give you the glory, Father. We give you the praise and the glory. And thank you, Jesus, for moving here tonight. And we thank you for ministering to your saints, Lord, your precious people that love you. And we give you the glory for that too as well, Lord. And we just want to pray for those who are hurting tonight, emotionally, mentally, Father. We just come against those spirits that are just causing them to be hurt, causing them to be struggling right now, and going through great difficulties in their lives, Father. We pray, Lord, that the Holy Spirit will come and minister to them, Father. Encourage them, strengthen them, build them up, Father, in your spirit. Lord, we pray for those who are being led astray in any way, Father. We rebuke those lying, deceiving spirits that would try to lead people astray. And we say, no, devil, you can't lead people astray. We rebuke that in Jesus' name. We cover them with the blood. We rebuke those deceptive spirits. spirits that would try to lead people astray, as so many have been over these years. We've seen so many led astray, Father, but Lord, we thank you that you're keeping your flock, Father. You're keeping your people from deception and being led astray by the enemy, Father. We praise you for your good work in each one of us, Lord. You said you'd work in us until the day of your return, Father. So we just praise you for doing that. We praise you for fresh anointing tonight, fresh oil on each of us from heaven. We thank you for spiritual strength today. And Lord, that you will mightily move in each of our lives, Father, that we would each have more of you daily, Father, that we would hunger and thirst after you and we would be filled. Lord, you said those that hunger and thirst will be filled, Lord. And we thank you that, Lord, we're being filled, Lord. Being filled with more of you. More and more and more. Lord, you have so much to give to those who are hungry. But you have to be, we have to get hungry. And Lord, I'm hungry and we want more and we need more. And we've got to have you, Lord. In this time, like no other time in our lifetime, we need you, Lord. When these grand deceptions are going out throughout the world, throughout our nation, oh, Lord, protect us from these things. And we thank you that we're going to just keep growing in grace and growing closer to you until your return, Father. We give you glory that you're going to bring us through it all, Father. Through it all. You're going to take us through. You're not going to leave us or abandon us, but you're going to bring us through whatever happens in this time that we live in, Father. And we thank you for that today. In Jesus' name, we give you glory and praise. Everybody say amen. Amen. All right, let's get into the Word of God today. And by the way, who is it that's being sued? One of the government agencies, because they said that there was no COVID-19 whatsoever. It was just the flu, because they have yet to be able to find any proof of the COVID-19. A laboratory has been testing everything that's supposed to be COVID-19, and they're saying that they haven't found one case of it. And so they're suing them for lying to the American people. We'll see what happens with that, but I don't know, you know, but I heard that this week, and that sure makes sense, you know, because we didn't hear of people dying from the flu this year, do we? Not hardly anyone. So it could just be that it's just one more massive lie to the people of this country to control them. We don't know for sure, but I did hear that, and it very well could be true. Anyway, let's get into this. Taking or forcing the position of receiving or reception today is the title. Yes, taking the position of reception or receiving. So I want to talk to you about this. Remember, the devil is a thief and a robber. So don't be surprised that things are being stolen and robbed and lied about. He's just nothing but a con. To steal, kill, and destroy. That is his plan, and that his forte is, and that's what he's doing, and that's what you could expect to have happen to you if you don't stop it with spiritual authority and the life of God in you, taking up the arms against the enemy, the arms of the blood of Jesus, the word of God, and the name of Jesus, our mighty weapons of warfare in the spirit. And it has happened to people all their life. They've been robbed, they've been stolen from, they've been lied to, they've been deceived. Because we were born into a world dominated by this thief and his fellow thieves. And Jesus said to the religious leaders and others of his day that you are of your father, the devil. And it is no different today. Many religious leaders today and people are of their father, the devil. And his bitings they will do. That's right. And lead others into evil as well. So we're under full-scale demonic thievery and attack of the thieves right now. And we better wake up quickly. We better start resisting. For that is how we're going to get them away from us. Resist the devil. And what are you going to do? He's going to flee. Flee from us. If you don't resist, he ain't going anywhere, all right? And we've been robbed. stolen from, and so many are still being robbed by these thieves of the demonic realm of Satan. And so I am convinced that believers are doing without God's best because they have not set themselves up to receive God's best, and God wants you to have his very best. So they're being robbed from the best that you could have, the things that God has freely given to his people. But they have to be received, see? And so we're not having renewal or revival or a move of God sometimes because we are not paying the price for revival or renewal. And I'm convinced of this as I was praying. God has more for us, more for you as a believer than you have yet tasted of. And yet demons are trying to keep it away from you. They're trying to steal, kill, and destroy anything that God has given, is giving, and will give. But how do we enter in and receive these blessings from God? Well, I believe there's a key from the Lord for us to see today. All right, so let's go over and read some Bible here. Acts chapter 2. We'll start there. Acts chapter 2, verse 1 through 4. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And then we'll jump down to another verse here, verse 41, and read it as well. Verse 41. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Hallelujah. That's a big move of God. This indeed was an outpouring of the Spirit of the Lord. Would you agree? Oh, yeah. But I want to examine some of the events that took place to set the stage for this, that will also get the stage for you, set the stage for you to receive and for our personal outpouring to come to us. I want to give you these steps for you to follow, to enter in both individually and your group or your church. Yeah, let's go to Luke 24. Because I tell you what, we need Jesus to show up. We need the outpouring of the Holy Spirit today. We need to overcome the enemy. And one of the ways that helps us all to be fully filled, like they were all filled that day with the Holy Spirit and spoke with tongues. Verse 39, behold, of Luke 24, behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself, handle me and see, for a spirit hath not flesh and bone, as you see me have. So here we see, you need to first see Jesus. I mean, truly see Jesus. See him. Know him. When you see him, you will want to deal with sin in your life. You won't want that sin remaining. You will hate it because he is so glorious. He is so holy. And yet he says that we're holy too. He's going to give us the strength to be holy, the power to be holy as he is holy, according to the word of God, right? So number one, you must first really see Jesus. You need to see him. As it says here, behold my hands, my feet, that it is I, myself. Handle me and see me. See him. See how important that is. Number two, look at verse 36 here. And as they thus spoke, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and said unto them, peace be unto you. But they were terrified and affrighted and supposed that they had seen a spirit. And he said unto them, why are you troubled and why do thoughts arise in your heart? Well, see. What is this? Well, this is how you must see him, without fear, without being terrorized, without that guilt and condemnation that the devil would put on Christians if he'd get away with it. See, these are devils that will block you from being in the presence of the Lord. He appeared to them and said, peace. He's trying to give them peace, and the devil's terrifying them. Oh, they just all terrified, frightened, and suppose they'd seen some kind of demon spirit. And they were terrified of him. And God doesn't want you terrified of him. He doesn't want you walking under that bondage. You've not really seen him until you can come before him free of the fear and the guilt. See? That's right. Because the Bible tells you, Romans 8:1, there's therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after flesh but after spirit. The devils will try to block him from you and block you from him. So we got to walk free of that stuff, you know, because you're not really truly believing his word. His word said we come boldly before the throne of grace. We come boldly in. See? Oh, yeah, when he comes to the world's going to cry for the rock to fall on him. But not us, because we have no fear. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a power of love and a sound mind. So we have come into his presence with fear and condemnation and guilt. We should not come that way. If you're coming that way, then something's wrong. See, the devil's got a hold on you somehow. Because if you fear God, other than the reverence and the holy honor, we should give him that, right? Because he is God, and we can fall before his glory and in great reverence and honor and worship. That's not what I'm talking about. Because if you fear him, something's wrong in the way you see him, or in your relationship with him. If you're afraid of him, you don't have to be afraid of God. He doesn't say to tremble and be afraid of him. No, no. Reverence him. That's, have a fear of God in the sense of reverence. That's what that is talking about. So we must all come to the knowledge that his sacrifice for our sins was enough. If it isn't enough, then you aren't right with God, and you're playing a game. And if you can't come into his presence without the fear and the condemnation and the guilt and the mental torment, if you're some little rat or something that God wouldn't have any time for you, look at you, just a, you know, this, that, or the other, you think these lowly things about yourself. Come on now. No. His sacrifice for sin, no more is necessary. It was enough. And because of that sacrifice, you've been made pure by the blood of Jesus. And we are accepted in the beloved, period. You don't have to talk real fancy or put on all this fancy attitude or this spiritual uppity attitude. No, no, he simply has accepted you in the beloved. The Bible says that, right? So we are able to come into his holy presence and receive from him and be blessed by him. And he wants you to come in there. But just come in there with terrified like the disciples were when he showed up. Ephesians 1:6, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he has made us accepted in the beloved, in whom you have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sin, according to the riches of his grace. How rich is his grace? How much are the riches of his grace today? Do you have that? I'm telling you. Does it say we will have? No, no. It doesn't say we will have. It doesn't say that at all. Wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved, not will make us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have now redemption through his blood, not will have the redemption through his blood. We have it now. According to the scripture, to the word of God, we have this forgiveness, redemption, through the blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, that abundance of grace, hallelujah. So clearly, you are declared not guilty today. Now let's go back to Luke and continue with number three. Number three, we've got one and two covered. Now let's go to number three, Luke 24:45. Then open he their understanding, that they might understand the scripture. What's number three? You must have the spiritual understanding. Revelation knowledge will be open to you by the Holy Spirit. You will get revelation knowledge of the scriptures. You will have understanding of the scriptures. So life's going to go on. We got to have that. That's a step as we're taking these steps here today, right? For you to follow, to enter in, both for you and for your family, your church, whatever. So you need to have revelation knowledge. This is so very important. You can read the Bible all day long, but until you receive the quickening or the making alive of the scripture by the Holy Spirit, it will not be applicable to you to where you can receive it. You're just reading. The Holy Spirit makes the word alive. It quickens it. We need that to happen. And this is what the word must become to us, a personal, revealed word from heaven for our lives. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. It's alive and living to those that are quickened unto them by the Spirit of God. Right? So this is what the word got to become. Personal, revealed word from heaven for our life. And it must be alive for what we face daily here on earth. We need a living word, not some old dead word. We need a living word. And if you're not receiving revelation knowledge of the scripture, then you need to get on your face, ask God to give it to you. Because it's yours for the taking, for the receiving. Get in that position of reception. Whatever you have to do to get in that position of reception, get in it. The Bible says the violent take the kingdom by force. Luke 24:49, number four. Number three was you must have revelation knowledge of the word. It must be quickened to you. Number four is expect the outpouring of the Spirit. Luke 24:49. It says, behold, I send the promise of the Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. You've got to have the power. Expect this outpouring of the power of the Holy Spirit. The promise has been given. But so many believers have dried up today. They quit expecting. They don't live in a continual state of expectation of God showing up in their lives. They've lost that once white-hot fervor they had for God. And some of them never had it. But it's time we get that. If you haven't ever had it, it's time to have some fervency about you, some passion about your walk and your relationship with Jesus. Hey, I don't care if it takes you 10 years. You don't quit expecting. You stay full of God and expect his outpouring. Hey, just keep expecting it. Keep expecting. Keep living in that expectation. And it says, as it says in Ephesians 6, verse 13 and 14, it says, wherefore unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand in the evil day, and having done all to stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and so forth and so on. Notice, there's no time limit on standing. You stand, and having done all, you keep standing. You don't quit standing. You keep on standing. Having done all, you keep standing. Now, number five. Here's the real key to really receiving from the Lord. Luke 24:52. Let's go back. 452. And this is so important. I want to spend some time on this tonight. I'm telling you, this is so undertaught, underrated in the body of Christ today. And they worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and they were constantly in the temple praising and blessing the Lord. Amen. Did you get that? Did you hear that? This is the key, an important key. We're giving you peace. This is a very important. What if the disciples had gone to Jerusalem and went in and just cried and mourned the whole time? I hate to think what might have happened. But no. They were continually praising and believing God and blessing him and worshiping him. And the praises of God was in the mouth, and praise will put you in the position of receiving God's best and his outpouring on your life. Praise goes with effective warfare against devils. In fact, really, you're not going to be as effective as you can be in spiritual warfare unless there is praise in your mouth, right? Because what does the Bible say? The high praises of God in our mouth and a two-edged, sharp two-edged sword in our hand. This is the way things work, folks. And so many don't prevail and win against the enemy because they don't have their praise going. They don't have the praise, and they don't have any fruit of their mouth, the fruit of their lips, and not taking place, see? They have some word in them, but they don't have praise in their mouth. I'm telling you something about the devil. They hate praise and worship. Oh, no, they want to shut it down. Why do you think that they're telling people not to sing in church nowadays in California. Don't sing. You cannot have worship. But they don't want that praise going. They don't want it attacking them and their ungodly strongholds of devils that's on the government there that's trying to put that on churches where you can't praise and worship God. Yeah. The devil wants your praise. Yeah, he wants to steal it from you. He wants no praise in your mouth. Devils hate praise and worship. They won't shut it up, shut it down, or pervert it, or twist it. Have you ever just spent an hour praising God? I have. Spent more than that. Just praising Jesus, the Father, and the Holy Spirit. If you haven't, then you've missed out. And it's not too late to do it, though. Not too late to spend an hour worshiping Jesus. Praise you, Holy One. We worship you, Almighty God. Bless your name. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. And all in me, we praise you, magnify you, worship you, glorify you. Thank you, thank you, Jesus. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. And all that's in me, bless his holy name. Hallelujah. You could do that for an hour and pray in the Spirit and worshiping tongues. Yeah. Oh, yeah. What would that do for your life? Well, no wonder some things are always lacking or falling apart in Christians' lives because they won't praise God. They're incomplete in their walk. They're incomplete. If you're not praising God, and the Bible says to praise him continually, we'll see that in a minute. But listen, if you're not praising God, you're incomplete in your Christian walk. So devils have been successful in muzzling your mouth. They've muzzled you. We tell the devil sometimes to be muzzled, to hush in Jesus' name, to shut up. Well, you know, they shut up. They've shut a lot of believers up today. They've muzzled us, and we need to muzzle them instead. Shutting your praise down or keeping you from ever walking into it into the first place in the full power of it or walking in the full power of it. Hey, in Hebrews, it says we are to offer up the sacrifice of praise, the fruit of our lips, Hebrews 13:15. It says here, by him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. You see how important that is? How often? Once in a great while? No, it says continually. Continually right here. Did you get that? I mean, you want a weapon of war. Praising God is a weapon of war against the enemy. Not only that, it'll take you into glory. It'll take you in to his presence. Oh, my. This is so important. So, no wonder it's not working for you sometimes. When is the last time your lips, your mouth has been fruitful? Could have a whole bunch of junk coming out of the mouth. A whole bunch of negatives, a whole bunch of criticism, a whole bunch of unbelief coming out. Ought to be putting praises in there. Right? Hey, if we want God's result and the supernatural power release, we must do things the Word way, God's way, see? You know, I've known Christians who never seem to ever even praise the Lord. There's no lip fruit at all. It just seems evident that there isn't any. Let's just let our lips be fruitful now. Again, let's just join me. Just take a minute here. Praise you, Father. I worship you, Lord. Just let your lips be fruitful right now. I worship you, God Almighty. I worship you, Lord God Almighty. I thank you. I give you glory. I give you praise. I give you honor. Your name is above every name, and I magnify the name of Jesus. I worship you, Lord. I praise you, Lord. Hallelujah to the name of the Lord. Glorify you, Lord God Almighty. Praise and worship you, Jesus. Yes. Just do it. Just take some praise time. Let's let our lips be fruitful. Glory to God. Weaken the thief, the robber, the demons within you still. We need to learn to prevail, to win. Thank you, brother, for listening. Praise God. Yes. We need to learn to prevail, to win. This war is intensifying right now. It's not getting less, it's getting more. So let's do it right and see the results. What are the results? We'll see devils fleeing, defeated foes manifesting their defeat. We're going to send some nuclear weapons into the camp of the enemy. He's trying to nuke the human race and get them to fire off their weapons of war. We're going to fire off our weapons of war, which is far beyond any nuclear weapon. All they could do is kill the body. They can't kill the spirit. They can't kill our relationship with Jesus. Not going to be able to do that. So praising God will cause renewal, outpouring, and revival victories in our lives. Praise and worship, it'll put you over. It'll put you through when others aren't getting through. That praise, the high praises of God in your mouth with a two-edged sword in your hand. Praise is going to have to be used to be successful in any spiritual battle. And I'm telling you, we are in battle today. And we need to be praising God. I praise God sometimes in deliverance just to shut down the enemy and get him weakened. It weakens the enemy. Praise and worship will set the stage for 3,000 souls to be saved. I remember the story of Reverend Omar Cabrera, Pastor Cabrera in South America, was a pastor of a national church in the country of Argentina of 140,000 members, and he was asked his secret of growth in his evangelistic crusades as he traveled around doing evangelistic crusades in different cities. And so this is what he said. He said he goes into a town 2 weeks before the crusade and prays and fasts, and he does spiritual warfare. And he says it's a very common occurrence to see angels as they do battle, and they win the ground so that the crusade can be successful and stop the enemy in the community through prayer and fasting. See, the problem with us, though, is often in the area of persistence. How persistent are you? How many of us are really ready to pay the price of 2 hours of praise and worship, or to fast 3 days, a week, 10 days, or even 1 day? 1 day is hard for most people. But that's a starting place. 1 day, start with one meal, if that's all you can do. And then graduate to 2 meals, then 3, then you've got a day. Yeah. See, some spirits are not going to be dislodged without some fasting, right? They're not going to be dislodged over our life, our personal lives, or others' lives until a person has fasted. Even over cities, over governments, over churches. I mean, listen, we got to take warfare a little more seriously. This is not, you know, just a little playing out in the sandbox thing. This is serious, and lives are at stake. Heaven and hell is at stake. And the direction of nations is at stake. The directions of a lot of things are at stake. And how you will live your life is at stake. And how it's going to be, what you're going to be subject to in your life is at stake. I mean, so many different things. I mean, I tell you, I fast almost every week. And so that's how important I take it, you know. So I live a fasted life that way. But all of you need to be praying in tongues too more. I said, all of you need to pray in tongues more. If you have the baptism of the Holy Spirit, if not, you need to receive it. Right? Say amen. You know, how do you think Paul received so much revelation knowledge that he did? What did he say in 1 Corinthians 14:18? What did he say about himself? He says, I thank God, my God, I speak with tongues more than you all. Yeah, I speak in tongues more than all of you people out there. This is what he's telling them. That's how important it was to him. Because he that speaketh an unknown tongue edifies himself. And that's important to be edified. It's important to be built up. That's what edify means, to be built up in the spirit, built up in the things of God. So, yes, every day I pray in tongues. Just like Paul. Paul was a tongue talker. He had his prayer language he received when he received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. right? And then there's also the operating in the gift of tongues, which is done in setting where people are, like in church, where you have the gift of tongues, and then an interpretation of tongues goes with that. That's one of the nine gifts of the Spirit. Well, two of them, actually, the gift of speaking tongues in a group setting, and then the interpretation of tongues in a group setting. But your private tongue, you do that any time. So I pray in tongues in my car, pray in the tongues in my home, in my bed, wherever. I can pray in tongues any time. Just start doing it. Feed up on the most frequent about it. If you come down the book, you have an image, you put up a food. Remember the debility down book, so everybody did. You know, we should do that. Paul did it. And he told us to do it, right? Jesus said, this promise is to you and to your children and to all that are far off. Everyone can receive. If you're born again, you can receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit and empowerment. And revelation knowledge comes more freely when you pray in the Spirit. Praying in the Spirit brings you into a position in the Spirit where spiritual truths will flow freely, more freely. And demons hate tongues. I said demons hate tongues. They resist people speaking in tongues. It upsets them. And understand there are many types of prayers, and there are also many types of praying in tongues. There's the praise and worship tongue. You know, you begin to worship God in tongues. And then there's the warfare tongues. Then you go to war in tongues. There's that warfare tongue. And there's this interceding tongues. You know, you're interceding for things that you might not even be able to put into your English language. You don't know how to pray for those things, but you can pray for them in the Spirit because the Spirit is praying through you, and He knows how to pray, and He knows the right word as we speak in the tongues of men and of angels. See, He knows what we need to be praying. And so there's interceding tongues. And there's direction tongues where we pray for direction and leading in our lives. And there's victory praying in tongues to thank God for the victory. And then also praying for the victory in tongues as well. And I can, and there's more, but I'll just give you a little taste of it. You know, I've blasted the enemy many times with tongues. That's right. I mean, why do you think that Jesus told them to wait in Jerusalem until you be endowed with the power of the Holy Spirit, the baptism of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost, so they would be empowered to go into this world with power? They wouldn't just go without the power. Not that we're the superior to the Christians who have not received the baptism of the Holy Spirit or don't believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It doesn't mean we're superior. It just means we're doing what we were told to do. It just means that we read it in the Word and we believed it, and so we received it. Right? Because this promise is to you, your children, and all that are far off. That means all of us, we can all receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. All the only requirement is that we've been born again. Right. And how did the disciples know that the Gentiles had received? Well, they said they'd received the Spirit just like we did because they heard them speak in tongues. Because they spoke in tongues the way they did speak in tongues. So they knew that they'd received the baptism of the Holy Spirit too. So tongues comes with the package of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And we can make all kinds of excuses about it, but it comes with it. And you can have your prayer language when you receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Some people just, you know, they got just too much. I got to figure it all out. I got to understand it. Well, it's not coming out of your natural mind. It's coming out of your spirit. And the wind blows where it will. You don't understand the Holy Spirit. We don't have the complete understanding of the Holy Spirit, folks. There's so much more to be understood. Okay? So you can't figure out the Holy Spirit. He's God. Okay? He gives you revelation of Him as you grow. Anyway, so they could be empowered to go into the world. Tongues come with the package, right? Your personal tongue. Your personal tongue. So we must use every weapon at our disposal to attack the enemy. Quit just having a maintenance mentality, a defensive mentality. Well, I'm just trying to hold on, Pastor, be protected from these attacks of the enemy and defend myself. Well, just trying to get through this time and just make it till Jesus comes, you know. Well, no, we need to have more than just to barely get by mentality, just get through it till Jesus comes. We need to take the battle to the enemy as well. Jesus did, and he stirred up the comfort zones of all the devils everywhere he went and messed them up. I mean, he just messed up their little, situations and circumstances they'd set up for themselves inside people. Jesus went around casting out devils where he went and healing the sick and just dislodging the devil. Every region he went to, he just messed things up for the devil. And we need to do the same thing. We don't be afraid of those demons. The Bible says for nothing shall any man hurt you, right? Yeah. Because we've been given authority over the enemy. And we need to be using it. And daily you can use it. Not, and sometimes momentarily, moment by moment. And so everywhere he went, he was hated by the devil. But the devil's already hated us. And they've done us much damage, all of us. They've done us much damage. I mean, you could sit there and talk all day about the damage the devils have done to your life. You've been alive any amount of time. You could tell me all about it for a long time. But isn't it about time that we do some damage to them? Listen to me. Your devils within you have and probably are causing you discomfort. They have stolen from you. They have brought you troubles and difficulties in your life. Oh, yeah. How about causing them some trouble now? You know, I know how to irritate and trouble devils. I do, and I do it. Amen? And we ought to all be doing it. This is our calling. As we glorify God, it's going to irritate the devil. It's going to just drive him, batty, we could say. Yeah, I know whom I carry within me, and greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world around me and in our flesh. In my flesh dwelleth no good thing. I don't glorify my flesh. I glorify Jesus, see? So in my name, Jesus said, we would cast out devils, see? In his name. We need to make them miserable. They don't like being cast out of situations and circumstances and places and people and things. They don't like it being dislodged. They don't like being upset, even in our own lives, when we rebuke them and start praising God, speaking in tongues and binding and loosing and using the weapons of our warfare, which are not carnal but mighty through God, that are pulling down of their strongholds. Amen? Yeah, make them miserable as they have done to us, you know? And then they'll have to wander about in the dry places, miserable, searching desperately for another host to live in. Listen, I have no compassion for them. I hate evil. I said, I hate evil. That's what we're commanded to do. And the devil's a pure evil. Well, I hate evil. Okay? And you need to hate evil too. Remember, you persist until you receive. That's right. You persist until you receive. You praise and worship in the spirit in English and in the spirit, and it also torments and tortures the enemy and binds him up. And remember King Jehoshaphat? We're going to hell today. Oh, what weapons do we need? It's the praisers. Well, what about the Green Beret? What about the Special Forces? What about John Wayne? Hey, leave them in the back row. We won't be needing them. Get the orchestra of praise. Get the singers and the dancers. Get the high praises going, and let's go worship the Lord. But we'll be devoured by the enemy. No, we won't. We know the story. The enemy killed each other. The Lord set up ambushments against them, and they just devoured one another. Listen, we need to start praising God so that those people up there that are bringing evil, trying to bring all manner of evil and release it on our country, will be ambushed by God. They'll just have ambushments set among them and be devoured by their own wickedness. Amen, and by the Lord. That's right. Remember, we don't fight the way the world does. We fight spiritual battles with spiritual weapons, which bring results both in the unseen realm and in the seen realm, in the natural realm as well. So praise God forever. Hallelujah. You know, I remember the story of Terry Law when he went in 1972. Terry Law was invited to take his musical group to Poland to perform at a university, and it was communist at the time. And he went, but when he got there, he found out two terrible mistakes had been made. First, students had not invited them. The students of the university had not invited them, but leaders of the communist youth group had invited them. And secondly, the communist youth group had thought that the Living Sound was the name of the group, was an American rock group. And they had scheduled them to sing at a fundraising banquet at the Communist Party headquarters. Yeah. And he spoke to them of Jesus after three songs, and after finishing that, they grabbed him, the group not noticing it, and cursed him and questioned him, and said, "Who sent you, the CIA?" And well, they were embarrassed, so they let the group sing, but forbid Terry Law from speaking. Well, the Spirit of God began to move because they were praising God in their music. The Spirit of God was poured out as the group just began to praise and worship God and sing. Power of God was so heavy there that the group totally forgot it. Its audience, they forgot who they were singing to and just sang to God. And demons were dislodged and bound up by the praise and worship. And when the final song came, the crowd stood to their feet and clapped in response to the anointing of God. And yet Jesus wasn't finished yet. They stayed there until 3:30 a.m. in the morning, leading people to Jesus. What caused this? Jesus caused it, but they were praising and worshiping Jesus. That released the power of God in that place. See? Amen. And praise is going to cause God to add to the church today. He's going to cause God. It's going to cause the power of God to show up. Amen. So, number one, see Jesus. I mean, really see him without the eyes of religious devils showing him in a way that he's not. Because that's how a lot of people see Jesus. They see him in a way that he's not, in a way that he isn't really that way at all. And number two, see him without fear, guilt, and condemnation, because that's coming from the enemy to hinder you and you're walking into his presence and being in his presence. The Bible says in his presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand are pleasures forevermore, right? So you're allowed to be there, especially now because we have the blood of Jesus. And get revelation knowledge, number three. And number four, expect results. Expect the outpouring. You need to live in expectation every day of your life of Jesus showing up. Yes, of the supernatural being in your life. Number five, praise and worship him continually. Let the high praise of God be in your mouth continually. Praise you, Lord God Almighty. Praise you. See, Jesus has showed us how to win in these multiple battles that all of us are facing them right now. Listen, we're all facing some stuff. But how many are winning today? How many times do devils and demons seem to prevail against God's people? I tell you, it's too much of the time. It shouldn't be that way. That's not the way Jesus lived when he walked on the face of the earth 2,000 years ago. And he set an example for us. He wasn't intimidated by the devils. He wasn't overrun and overcome by the devil. No, he overran and overcame them. See? So how many times do they seem to prevail against God's people today? Are God's people just too lazy to obey the word of God and win? Have we just had it too easy for too long? Have the doctrines of demons and have they prevailed against the church or a lot of the church today, a lot of the Christians today, so that they won't fight? Are we all just becoming pacifists here? Have we lost our praise or never really had it in the first place? Is that the problem today? Have we rejected the power of the baptism of the Holy Spirit and praying in our prayer languages? Have we rejected deliverance and spiritual warfare as I have watched so many do? Lord, have mercy on us. Lord, have mercy on us. Answer these questions. Answer these questions. I mean, it is high time for a stirring and a changing until Jesus arises up in his people again mightily. And we need to receive what Jesus has to give to us. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Most of all, we need to receive what the Holy Spirit can give and will give to those who will take it. Will you take it today? Will you take it? I'll just say, I'll take it, Lord. I'll take it. I'll take all of it. Amen. We're going to take it all. Take it all that he has to give to us. But listen, there's something I need to cover here, too, because I want to tell you, children of God, there is something each one of you are going to have to learn to do if you're going to go on in this and get deeper and closer to him. You're going to have to learn to and to expect to actually be an overcomer and live an overcoming life in these last days. Each of us is going to have to learn to receive this from God, because Paul did. Not only did he receive it, he gave it by the power of the Spirit of God to others. And if you don't learn to receive it and to go and actively get it, you'll get bogged down continually. The devil will get you in a trap. He'll get you in a place where you can't seem to get out of. And so what is this mysterious thing that you're speaking about, Pastor Kyle, that all of us need today? Well, let's go over to 2 Corinthians 1:3. 2 Corinthians 1, verse 3, and we'll find out what it is. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. What are we talking about? What is it that we all need? Comfort. Comfort. This is something we all need at many times. Right? I mean, desperately. You say, well, I don't need that. No, listen, folks. All of us need it. If you say you don't need it, you haven't lived the Christian life very long, or else you've lived a very sheltered life as far as things go. But no, if Paul needed comfort, you and I need comfort. And there are just times that we just need to let the Holy Spirit comfort us. But we've been in the midst of all kinds of stuff, and we just need comfort. We need the comfort that he gives. Notice here it says he is the God of all comfort. See, because Satan can't give you comfort. He can't really comfort you. Okay? Billy can't comfort you. Susie can't really comfort you. No, you cannot get comforted from Jack Daniels or from Coors or smoky weed or sex or psychiatrists. These are all cheap imitations, because God is the God of all comfort. Don't come from these other things. And what happens to me if I don't get comforted? Well, you will revert to living as a natural man, ruled by the flesh. You've got to get that comfort. That's part of our walk, folks. And maybe you never thought of it that way, but you need the comfort of the Lord. You need the comforter of the Holy Spirit to come and comfort you. Titus 3:3, it says, for we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving various lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. I hate so-and-so, right? That's what happens if you don't receive comfort. We hated. We were haters. We were walking in envy, living in malice, hateful and hating one another, serving various lusts. I mean, no hatred is birthed when you're done wrong repeatedly. Or even in some cases, just one time is all it takes before you hate. Because you need comfort. And if you don't get comfort, it can turn to hate. See? Well, I'm going to get even with them. I'll remember that. I'll get them. See, we used to be that way. How many know that many Christians still live that way, too? And that's not healthy living for a Christian. See, the flesh is naturally these ways, and we know that the demons are attached to the flesh, because Paul said, no good thing dwelleth or liveth in my flesh. And the flesh is part of the soul. It doesn't take any special training to become disobedient, foolish, deceived, and filled with devils and lust. It doesn't take any special training. That just comes natural to the human race. I mean, know that we all got our devils without any effort on our part, because we was born with some. We're born with family line spirits, generational spirits, and all kinds of mess, picked up a whole bunch more growing up in our ignorant and unprotected state. And some people are still picking them up because they never got saved. They never, or they did get saved, but they didn't know nothing about deliverance and demons and how they had them inside of them, attached to them. Yeah. So it doesn't take much to come this way. The Bible says it right there. We were living that. We ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving various lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful, and hating one another. Mm-hmm. But after that, verse 4, but after that, the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appears. Oh, but after that, everything changed. And at least it should. If we let that happen in our lives. But here's the natural tendency. Okay? Natural tendency. If they hurt us, do us wrong, we want to speak evil of them. Speak evil of them. Look at verse 2 here. To speak evil of no man, to be no brawlers, but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. That's what we want to do, though. We want to hurt them. We want to speak evil of them. And now we're in sin. And the devil would subtly have us to believe that two wrongs make a right. What a lie that is. He's doing his lying again and thieving, robbing you, see. Go to Matthew 5:44. Let's run over there for a minute. Matthew 5:44. That says, but I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be the children of your Father, which is in heaven. For he maketh the sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. Wow, is that in the Bible? For if you love them which love you, verse 46, what reward have ye? Do not even the publicans do the same? And if you salute your brethren only, what do ye more than others? Do not even the publicans do so? But be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. Well, that's some heavy words there. Is this easy? No. But Jesus set the example in that he came and loved the unlovable. That is you and me. We were unlovable. Without Jesus, we are just as unlovable and unlovely as those who crucified Jesus on the cross. We'd have done the same thing without Jesus. Our sins were crucified. You know, he bore those sins on the cross. Every one of them. That's part of what he did on the cross. Take care of you and my sin. Now, that's a major part. I mean, you know, without that, without his blood shedding, there is no remission of sin. And it is so easy to strike out and hurt back when we are hurt or abused. But is that what Jesus would do? You know, a lot of times, you know, you can whoop a devil just by saying, what would Jesus do? Hell, that's an old thing, but it's still true today. I mean, would Jesus do that? We gotta stop and ask ourselves, would Jesus do that? Is that the Spirit of God or is that a demon trying to take over and do something in my life at this point? Is that what Jesus would do? He said, I could have called the legions of angels, but he didn't. Why? Because his love was greater than any other attitude toward mankind, as it still is. For God so loved the world, the gay. He's not willing that anyone should perish and that people are sending themselves to hell because they made the choice to reject Jesus. And people are going to hell every day. So many people die every minute of the day. So how are we to act? In a time of being hurt or attacked, how are we to ask? Let's go over to 1 Peter 3, verse 8. 1 Peter 3. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Turning my pages here of my Bible, 3:8. Finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion, one of another, love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous, not rendering evil for evil, or railing for railing, but contrariwise blessing, knowing that you are there and to call that you should inherit a blessing. For he that would love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile. See, you're going to have to stop your tongue. The tongue doesn't want to be stopped. Demons get a hold of the tongue. That's why praise is so important, remember. And praying in tongues to bring that tongue into proper order and a spiritual alignment, see. But you're going to have to rule over your tongue. You're going to have to rule over your emotions, not have your emotions rule you, because the devils manipulate emotions and they get in people's emotions. And they're able to even embed themselves in people's emotion, and they are very much a firecracker at certain times when they get activated. And it doesn't take much to activate them when the demons are attached there, folks. Let's just face it. Demons embed themselves in emotion when they can. And our tongue can very easily be yielded to and controlled by demons. Well, that's just a fact. Listen, this is why sometimes, you know, you just don't respond. You just need to be quiet. That's why Jesus was quiet sometimes. He didn't respond. It wasn't time for responses. He didn't respond, and he set an example. Sometimes we just need to be quiet. Other times we speak up and we talk, and we talk under the direction and anointing of the Holy Spirit. Most Christians are ruled by their emotions. Therefore, they're not ruled by the Spirit. God didn't say be ruled by emotions. He said be ruled by the Spirit, to walk in the Spirit, not in the flesh. The flesh, emotions are part of the flesh, the soulish area where the flesh is. See? So they could be used either for the glory of God or for the fleshly manifestation. The emotion could be either one. So either the Spirit is going to rule or the flesh will rule. You can't live a victorious Christian life when you are emotionally ruled, I'm telling you. Okay. So get the tongue and get the emotion in the proper place that they belong, and under the proper covering of the Holy Spirit and the proper order. Well, how do I get comfort, Pastor? I need it today. Lord, comfort me. You cry out to him. Say, I need it today. Lord, I need your comfort today. I need you to comfort me. 2 Corinthians 1:4. Let's go read that. 2 Corinthians 1:4. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. I hope you're getting blessed here with this word tonight. 2 Corinthians 1:4. It says, who comforteth us in all our tribulations, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. So you get it from God, and you give it by God to someone else. One of the keys to receiving comfort is to comfort others. When you receive it from God, share it by the power of God in you. In fact, look for someone to comfort if you need it yourself, and start in faith comforting them, and you'll find you too will receive it yourself as well. Comfort is experiencing the love and mercy and kindness of God toward you. Hey, he has love, mercy, kindness toward you, and you need to receive the comfort of that love, mercy, and kindness. Oh, yes, thank you, Lord. That's right. Yeah, we know that we're a person, but outside of the grace of God, we don't deserve it, but we're inside the grace of God. You got to remember that. We're not outside grace. We're in grace. And therefore, we can receive the experiencing of the love and the comfort and the kindness and the mercy. Let's look at some of the ways that you can receive comfort. Number one, the Holy Spirit. Of course, he's the comforter. The Bible even calls him the comforter. You can actually walk the walk in the Comforter. That's right. Number two, prophecy. Remember the scripture, a word fitly spoken in due season, how good it is. You could receive a word from God, either through someone else or even in your own spirit. It could come up in your own spirit that you can receive a prophetic word that will comfort you. How good it is when that type of word comes forth. Scripture for that, 1 Corinthians 14:3. Love. Love is a comfort to us. When you know your love, I mean, no, that'll take you through a lot of things that you wouldn't get through if you didn't know you were loved. Oh, yeah. Love. Philippians 2:1. So if there be any consolation in Christ, if there be any comfort of love, see, there's the comfort of love. If any fellowship is there, any bowels of mercy, the comfort of love. There is comfort of love. And we need that comfort of love. How many know it's a good comfort to be loved? Yeah. It goes a long way. The Lord shall be your comfort. There's another one. The Lord. Another way you receive your comfort is the Lord. The Lord shall be your comfort. Isaiah 51:3. I mean, just, I'm going to give you scripture for each one. Scripture for the first one, the Holy Spirit, with Acts 9:31. And for the second one, prophecy, 1 Corinthians 14:3. And the third one, Philippians 2:1, which we just read. And then number four, the Lord shall be your comfort, Isaiah 51:3. I don't know if we'll read them all, but we'll read a couple of these. 51:3. So the Lord shall comfort Zion. He will comfort all her waste places, and he will make her wilderness like Eden. Oh, my. Would you like your wilderness like Eden? And her desert like the garden of the Lord? Joy and gladness shall be found therein, thanksgiving and the voice of melody. Thank you, Lord, for comfort. The Lord shall be our comfort. David knew how to encourage himself in the Lord. We need to know how to encourage ourselves in the Lord, too. Another one is that we find comfort in the coming of the Lord. 4:18. Comfort in the coming of the Lord. Oh, isn't that a glorious thing? We know the Lord is coming back. Oh, the joy of the knowledge that Jesus is coming back. 4:18 says here, wherefore comfort one another with these words. The words of what? The words of his return that we just read. The trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first, and then we which are alive and remain, in verse 17, together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, so that we shall ever be with the Lord. That's comforting to me. I don't know about you, but that, the coming of the Lord, is a comfort to me. And by your brothers and sisters is another one. 1 Thessalonians 5:11. Wherefore comfort yourself together and edify one another, even as also you do. So we get comfort by our brothers and sisters, but together. And then Jesus, 2 Thessalonians 2:16, since these are all close together, I can read them. Now our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God, even our Father, which has loved us and has given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work. Hallelujah. Jesus comforts us in every good word and work and establishes us in every good word and work. He comforts us in all our tribulations. He's given us everlasting consolation. He comforts our heart. Comforts our heart. We need his comfort. We receive his comfort. I receive your comfort, Lord. And then, of course, the word of God is a comfort to us. The word of God, absolutely, we're going to leave that one out. Another way you can receive comfort is the word of God. Psalms 119:50. It says, this is my comfort in my affliction, for thy word hath quickened me. The word has made me alive. The word is my comfort in affliction. Oh, my. This is, I mean, really, the Word is one of the most important places to receive comfort. You can always open your Bible and receive comfort. You can just do that. It's there for you. The Word is always there for you. He said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. And His Word will never leave you nor forsake you. It's there. Just open it up and receive. You have to force your position of reception sometimes, though. A lot of Christians just won't be forceful to receive things of the Spirit. David says, Thy word have I hidden in my heart that I might not sin against thee. This is how important the word is. The word will keep you from retaliation and revenge when you're hurt by others. And we've all been hurt by somebody. We've all suffered in some way, and we all stand in need of comfort. And the final way that we can receive comfort of my nine things that I put down here is prayer. Oh, how we can receive comfort in the time of prayer and communion with God. In Luke 22, and we've read them all. We might as well read this one. I only need to read the first one. We might as well read them all then. Luke 22, verse 40. And when he was at the place, he said unto them, Pray that ye enter not into temptation. And he was withdrawn from them about a stone cast, kneeled down and prayed, saying, Father, thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him. And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was, as it were, great drops of blood falling to the ground. When he rose up from prayer, was come to the disciples, he found them sleeping for sorrow. An angel came through prayer and encouraged him, ministered to him. You know, have you had an angel come to you in prayer and comfort, minister to you? So prayer is a place where we can receive comfort, we can receive encouragement, we can receive the strength to make it in these times that we're living in. And this is a place we all need to come to. Instead of running to everyone or picking up the phone and calling and gabbing, get on your face before God and pray. He'll meet you. He will meet you. He's waiting on you to come and get in His presence. He wants to talk to you. He wants to spend time with you. It's you that oftentimes don't want to spend time with Him. But we need to make time for Jesus because we're going to be with Him for eternity. We need to get to know Him now. We need to praise Him now because we're going to praise Him for eternity. You're going to know what praising is if you don't start doing it now. When you get up there, it's going to be foreign to you because you haven't praised Him in the earth when you were here. Hallelujah. Yeah, many are His disciples. And they go to sleep instead of praying like they did. When Jesus came to them, they were all sleeping. And He said, could you not pray with me 1 hour? And they just didn't know what to say because they were sleeping. You think the devil ever makes you sleepy when something spiritual could be going on? Absolutely, my friend. He distracts us. He comes to steal, kill, lie, destroy, all of that. And so He wants to keep you from your time with Jesus. He wants to keep you from the Comforter comforting you and ministering to you. He wants to keep you from praising God. He wants to rob you, keep you from binding and loosing and using your spiritual weapons against Him. Notice that the provision of comfort is complete in Him. It's complete in Him. In Jesus, it's a complete provision and it's complete in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Well, you know, I think this is where I'm going to have to stop tonight because I'm going to do some deliverance here in a minute. But I want you again to take these nine things and activate them in your lives and receive comfort. Some of you just desperately needing comfort. You haven't had any comfort in a long time. And I just told you tonight how to enter into comfort and how important it was that you have that. And some of you need to start praising God. You haven't let the high praise of God be in your mouth. You haven't offered up the fruit of your lips in a long time. And there's no condemnation here, but I'm telling you, these things will transform your life. These things will help you. These things will draw you in to his presence. Some need to pray in the Spirit more. You've been baptized. You've received your prayer language, but you're not using it much, if ever, hardly. Why do you think Jesus gave it to you just for a one-time experience and then you don't ever use it again? You think that's why you received the baptism of the Holy Spirit? For one-time usage? You need to keep it activated. Keep things activated in your life, and praying in the Spirit will activate your spiritual empowerment in so many ways. Hallelujah. So many ways. So many ways. Oh, we need to drink at the streams of the living water, my friend. We need to drink deeply. Oh my, yes. We need to drink more of him. Yeah. We need to take communion and eat his flesh and drink his blood too. We need to be partakers of him in every way that we possibly can. We don't need to be shorted by demons and let them short us of the things that Jesus wants us to have and be a partaker of. And he wants to rob you from being a participator in the reception of the things of God, in the receiving of the things of God, to rob you. That's why we have to take or force the position of reception or receiving, because the enemy is not going to let you have it if you don't take it. He's going to get in the way and rob you and steal from you and lie to you and get you distracted. Well, these are all his little thieving weapons that the demons use and the fallen angels use against the people of God to keep you ineffective and to keep you comfortless and feeling hopeless, feeling that things will never get better for you, and all the different lies and deceptions that he's so good at doing to you and me and all of us that he tries to lay this garbage on. But listen, we're educated tonight. We've just had an empowerment tonight. So don't let it drop by the wayside. Don't let the birds chew it up and eat it up and steal it. Right? And those birds speak of demons. And they come and eat up the things that you receive from heaven. Devour it, keep it from you, take it away. Father, we just ask for you to pour out comfort upon those of us needing comfort today. Comfort us, your people. Comfort us, your people, Lord. Pour out comfort in our lives, Lord. As we come to you to receive it, as we come to your presence, Lord Jesus, we praise you that you are the God of all comfort. You are the God of all comfort. And we receive all comfort from you. We receive, and we're not going to let the devil steal it. We're going to receive from the Holy Spirit. We're going to receive through prophecy. We're going to receive through love. We're going to receive you, Lord, as our comfort. We're going to receive comfort from the coming of Jesus is coming soon, that you're coming back for us. You love us so much. We're going to receive comfort from our brothers and sisters in the Lord. We're going to receive comfort direct from Jesus. We're going to receive comfort from the Word of God and through prayer. Comfort us, your people, O Lord. Comfort us. We are in your presence now, praising your name, glorify your name, magnify your name, O Lord God. We praise you tonight, worship you. Would you join me in worshiping the Lord? We worship you, Jesus. We praise you. We glorify your name, O Lord. We thank you for your goodness and mercy, your wonderful, wonderful, awesome grace. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you for your grace, Lord. Thank you. We glorify you for our health and our body. Thank you for health in our body. Thank you for the long life you will sanctify us until. We praise you, Lord, for the life of God infused within us, the quickening life. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Praise you, Lord God. We praise you, worship you, Lord God Almighty. Thank you for loving us so much. Thank you for pouring out your love on your people. Thank you, Lord, for choosing us before the foundation of the world. And we praise you for that. Praise you, Lord, for the sword of the word in our hands that we can effectively use that sword against the enemy and in favor of ourselves to receive from heaven. Thank you. Thank you for pouring out heaven on us, Lord. Thank you for heaven on earth in our lives, and for that you sometimes pour out heaven on earth upon us, Lord. We thank you for that, Lord. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Praise you, Lord God, for deliverance. Praise you for delivering us from evil spirits. Thank you, Lord, that you've given us the children's bread, and we have been made worthy to receive the children's bread, and we do receive it, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for correcting us and chastening us by your word, Father. The word of God is profitable for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Instruction. Thank you for the word, Lord. Thank you for your holy word. We love you and we love your word to us. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Bless the name of the Lord. Bless the name of the Lord. Bless the name of the Lord. Bless you, O Lord. Bless you. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continue to be in my mouth. Yes, Lord, I praise you. We worship you. Just praise him where you're sitting today, what you're doing today. Praise him. Worship him. Glorify the name of the Lord. Worthy is the Lord. Worthy to be praised. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you for this word tonight, Lord. Just let it be embedded within our hearts and minds. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. And as long as we live, we will bless the Lord. Amen. All right, we'll be right back and do some deliverance.
Who healeth all
the Lord, oh my soul. Let's cast out some demons now as we enter the last 17 minutes of the program here. We have a few minutes left, so let's spend some time in deliverance. We command the spirit of hatred and hate to go. We rebuke the spirit of hate right now in the name of Jesus. You come out right now. Come out. Spirit of hate and hating and hatred, come out right now. Come out. 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 We would bind you. I break your hold over people's lives right now. In the name of Jesus, you come out of there. Spirit of hatred. Spirit of hatred. Hatred is a consumer. The only thing we're allowed to hate is evil. We're not to hate other people. We're not to hate, even though they may be terribly awful people. And there are some terribly awful people, but we know that the devils that they have given themselves over to is what we are to hate, not the people. So we command the spirit of hatred for people, hatred for one another, to go, come out, that spirit of hatred. In Jesus' name, that spirit of murder, you come out too, spirit of murder. In the name of Jesus, come out, murder. We rebuke the spirit of murder. Come out, murdering spirit. Come out, come out, come out. Murdering spirit, come out. In Jesus' name, come out. Come out, the spirit that blocks comfort, you come out. Spirit of blocking your comfort, trying to keep you from being comforted by the Lord, you come out of it, all the way out. All the way out. Go in the name of Jesus, the spirit that blocks your comfort, blocks you from receiving comfort from the Lord and from the sources that we talked about here tonight. You come out of there. Come out. Block comfort, spirit. Trying to block comfort, trying to keep you comfortless. We rebuke those spirits right now. Come out in the name of Jesus. Come out, 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 all the way out. Come out. Come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out. Block comfort, spirits, come out. In Jesus' name, those spirits that block comfort, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out. He said, I will not leave you comfortless. I send you a comforter. So you spirit trying to block it, you're in violation of the scripture. You come out of there. Go right now. The blocking comfort, come out. Come out in the name of Jesus right now. Come out, 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 out of there. All the way out. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out now. All the way out. Up and out. I find you. You comfortless spirit trying to block comfort. Come out. This spirit that blocks healing in the body. You come out trying to block a person from being healed. I rebuke you. You try to stand up in there to stop healing from being flowed into this person's body. I rebuke you. Block healing, spirit. The spirits that block healing, you come out right now. Spirits that block health and healing, block recovery, come out in Jesus' name. Come out, come out, come out, come out, come out. That blocks healing, blocks recovery, blocks healing from wounds, healing from operations, healing from mistakes that doctors have made, mistakes that you've made. Come out. All that block healing spirits, come out. Blocking healing, come out. In Jesus' name, block emotional healing too. Mental healing, come out. All those block healing, you come out. Come out, come out, come out. The spirits that block the healing in your body and your mind, come out. Come out, all the way out. Go, 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 all the way out. Come out, 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 all the way out. Come on, all the way out, all the way out. Jesus' name. The blocking praise, blocking the fruit of your lips, those spirits that try to block you, whether they be self-conscious spirits or just hindering spirits, we command those block praise spirits to come out. You're blocking praise. You keep people from praising God and worshiping God. Keep them from the high praises of God in their mouth. Come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out. Blocking praise. You come out. Come on, all the way out. The enemy he don't want you praising God. You know that now. But in Jesus' name, that block praise has got to get out of the way. Come out, come out, come out, come out. Come out. You're called to be a praiser and a worshiper. Come out. Come out. Come out. All that blocking praise. Block praise. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out all the way out, all the way out. Come out in Jesus' name by the blood of Jesus. You have to go. You have to obey. Be weakened by the blood. I bind you. Come out of there all the way out, all the way out, all the way out. All those block praise spirits that try to block you from praising God, block the fruit of your lips. Come out, 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 come out. Blocking the word where you just won't pick up the word. Always have some kind of interference to, coming in to work interference or to get you distracted from the word of God, the spirits that block you from the word of God. You come out blocking the word, spirits. Let them go all the way up out of there. Excuse me. All the way up out of there. Well, that could be delivered too, but I just talk. Go all the way out. Go, blocking, reading the word. Come out. In Jesus' name, go, 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 go. Come out. Come out. Come out. Cough them out. Sigh them out. Yawn them out. Breathe them out. Let them go. Let them go all the way out. All the way up out of there. Go, in Jesus' name. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out. In Jesus' name. Come on. Block the word. It blocks you from getting in the word. Come out. Come out, come out, blocking the word from you receiving, blocking revelation knowledge. You come out of it. Go, try to block spiritual knowledge, spiritual revelation by the Holy Spirit. Come out, 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 come all the way out, all the way out. Blocking revelation knowledge, blocking spiritual understanding. Come out, come out, come out. We break the curse over your spirit and your mind. Any kind of spirits that are trying to block you, they get in the mind, try to block, come out. They can't get in your spirit, but they get in your mind, your soul, which is the mind, will, and emotion. The flesh is also involved there too. Come out, all the way out. Come on, all the way out, part of the mind. Come out, all the way out. Go, 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 go. Move, 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 move. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Spirit of lies, believing the lies, where you've got lies in your mind from demons implanted there, come out, all those lying spirits, come out, liar, they lie to you, that guilt, putting guilt and condemnation and different things to keep you afraid of God, come out, 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 afraid to come into his holy presence, come out, all that. Of being afraid of God. Come out, 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 come out of there. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Go. All those lying spirits, those religious spirits. Oh, he'll strike you down. You're so unclean. No, he made us clean by the blood. That's a lie. Come out. 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 All the way out. All the way up out of there. Go in the name of Jesus right now. In the name of Jesus, keep coming out all the way out, up and out, up and out. Keep going, keep going, keep moving, keep moving. You have to. You've been defeated by the blood of Jesus now. You have to obey. Come out, come out, come out, come out now. Keep coming out. All the way out. Go. All that condemnation. Go. All that condemnation. Come out. All that self-rejection, hatred for you. Come out. In Jesus' name. Come out. Come out. That false humility. You come out. That false humility. Come out. Come out. Come out now. Come on. All the way out. That false humility. Come out. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. False humility will keep you from God because it's just... It's a false humility. It's not the real humility. Real humility is total and complete dependence on the Lord. There's a false humility. You know, it's just not a real humility, but it tries to substitute itself for true humility. Come out. All the way out. Go, 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 go. All that guilt, all that unworthiness. Come out. Unworthiness. Unworthiness to receive his comfort, to receive his love, to receive from him the promises of God. Come out. All that unworthiness, all that spiritual insecurity, come out, not secure your relationship to Jesus, come out, all the way out, come out, come out, come out, 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 all the way out, keep coming, up and out of there, go in the name of Jesus, In the name of Jesus, go, 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 come out, come out, come out, come out. Keep coming out. Be weakened by the blood of Jesus. We apply the blood of Jesus against you, devil. You are defeated by the blood. You come out of there. Come out of it. The insecurity, come out. Insecurity, come out. Come on. Come on, that fear is not good enough. We are not good enough on our own, but Jesus made us good enough to come into the Holy of Holies. He said, come boldly before the throne of grace in time of need. You don't have to fear coming into the throne of grace. You don't have to be afraid to come in. Yeah, come boldly before the throne of grace. You'll say, false fear, come out. Not good enough. Come on, all the way out. Not good enough. That guilt mentality, that sin consciousness spirit, come out. Come out, 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 not good enough. Come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, not good enough. In Jesus' name, not good enough. You have to go right now. Move, move, move. Keep moving out, 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 all the way out, all the way out, all the way out. In Jesus' name, come out, come out. Come all the way up out of there in the name of Jesus Christ. Go, go and keep going. Keep going, up and out, up and out, up and out of there. Go, 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 not good enough. Come out, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. All the way out, all that, all the way. You got to go, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Keep coming out, keep coming all the way out, all the way, all the way, all the way. In Jesus' name, you have to go. You're defeated by the blood of Jesus, demon. You know your place. And you know that we have authority over you, demon. Come out. Come out. Religious performance, trying to earn the way to God. Come out. That religious performance, come out. 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 Come out of there. All the way out. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Go, 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 go. Go, that double-mindedness. Come out right now, that double-minded spirit makes you unstable in all your ways. Come out, that double-mindedness makes you where you cannot believe God. Come out, that spirit of double-minded. We break the curse of double-mindedness. Go, go in the name of Jesus right now. That double-mindedness, that play acting, being the actor, but not, it's not the real you. You play act, you act, you put on an act. Come out. All that acting spirit, come out, 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 come out of there, all the way out, all the way out. Jesus' name, you keep going, all the way out, all the way out. Jesus' name, come out, come out. That stiff neck, you come out, stiff neck, come out, all that stiff neck. Hard-headed, come out, in Jesus' name, come out. Hard-headedness, stiff neck, come out in the name of Jesus right now. All the way out, all the way up out of there. Come out, 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 come out. Come out of there, up and out, all the way out. All the way out, keep coming out. Keep coming out, all the way, all the way. All the way, that unrestrained lust, you come out. Unrestrained lust, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out. Worry, come out, worry, come out. Unrestrained lust, come out all the way out. All that worry spirit that worries about this, worried about that, come out all the way out. In Jesus' name, go, 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 go. Come on, all that worry. All that worry, keep coming out, keep coming out. That worrying, anxiety, worrying. You got to go right now. Got to go. Keep going all the way out, all the way up out of there. Go in the name of Jesus right now. In the name of Jesus, Father, we thank you for deliverance time tonight and praise and worship and all the things we covered tonight that's so important to overcoming life in Christ. And we ask you to seal this deliverance that people receive tonight and continue to give them more as they progress on their road to freedom more and more and more as the years go by. Thank you, Jesus. We give you praise and glory. I ask you to bless every listener in Jesus' name for your glory. Let them be blessed. Let them be ministered to by your Holy Spirit today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And amen. Hallelujah. You are precious. You're precious to Jesus. You're precious to us. And we love you and appreciate you. And those who give to this ministry, thank you for your sacrifice. Some really sacrifice to give their tithes. And some, you know, it's not as big a sacrifice to some, but still, it's important that you give. And we thank you for your giving. It's important to God, and he sees it, and he rewards you for it. And so thank you. Thank you so much. And the Lord bless you for your giving to the ministry. And we love you. We'll pray for you, and we'll see you back next week at the same time. Same time, same place. And we will continue worshiping God. How about you? You going to worship God this week? Practice what you heard. Put it into action. And let it be your reality in your life. Amen? Because we are overcomers, but we have praise in our lips. Amen? Praise God. Good night. Love you. I'll see you next week. Good night.